Everybody say trust.
Trust.
Everybody say forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
All right. That's what we're going to live, right? That's what we're after, right? We want to live this life of trust and forgiveness. I know that over the past several weeks, and you can always catch up on any of the messages in the series online, but we've been talking about this area of forgiveness. I see you through there. Forgiveness and trust. And we know that forgiveness is when we come to a place where we cancel or we release whatever has happened. We've talked about offense, okay? And when offense is, I really think we should do this maybe as a church. Some of you probably have been through the bait of Satan. It's John Bevere teaching on, it's a study of offense, okay? We get offended about things in life. Anybody ever been there? I know I'm the only one, right? Okay. But it happens, okay? But when offense is left unchecked, it really becomes this whole arena of unforgiveness. And when that remains in your life, it turns into a part of you, part of your DNA or your identity. You know, oh, he's just an angry old goat, you know, or whatever. You know, that's what they call me, right? But the reality is that when it gets to that point, it's become bitterness, okay? Now, we have a remedy for that, don't we? The remedy is the cross. It's what we just went through in our communion time because Jesus paid it all. Amen? Jesus paid it all. And I will tell you, there is a huge difference between forgiveness and trust, okay? Because there are times that I forgive and release. I'm always called 100% of the time to release and forgive. Because as we've studied the last 2 weeks, we've seen how the Scriptures teach us is that our salvation rests on this, okay? What really should be happening in our hearts, when I am born again, when the Spirit of God is residing in my heart and in my life, there should be a desire, okay, that naturally just comes out of the relationship that I have with Jesus to free people and release people and not hold them in this crucible of unforgiveness, if you will, okay? We have to release them unto the Lord. Trust, however, takes time. Rebuilding trust when it is broken can take time. It takes effort. It takes consistency, okay? Some situations, you may have been through something in your life where you were the victim of a crime, okay? Somebody did something to you, all right? And the reality is that trust for that individual may not ever be possible, okay? Maybe that individual ended up incarcerated or something of that nature. These things happen in the world that we live in. All you have to do is turn on the news and you can see all kinds of tragedy and things that take place each and every day. But the reality that we are living with is that as Christians, we are called not to live in bondage to unforgiveness and really living in a place where we can't trust anybody around us, okay? What happens is, for instance, and I got this ladder here for a reason, all right? So if I'm climbing a ladder, you know that when you're climbing, you guys are wanting to see how high I'm going to get, okay? But when you're climbing a ladder, all right, I have confidence in this ladder that it's going to hold me, okay? Now, some of you remember those old rickety wooden ladders, okay? Some of you probably got one that you just don't want to let go of, right? Because this was old Grandpa Freddy's, and I tell you what, Grandpa Freddy, he had this, and I'm going to keep using this, and I'm going to pass it on for generations to come. Even though the next time you step on it, it's dry rot and it's going to break. But let's just say you were on a ladder like that, okay? And all of a sudden, you had an accident on that ladder. And that ladder tipped or it became unstable and you broke your leg or whatever happens. Now, I will tell you, there will be something that happens in your mind. Anytime that you come to a ladder, especially if it happened early on in your life, every time you see a ladder, you're going to think twice, right? You're going to check it out really, really good and make sure that that ladder is going to hold you next time. All right? And quite frankly, there's some people that get to the point where they say, I'm never going to get on a ladder again. I nearly broke my neck. It's an internal vow that we make. And a ladder is a very useful tool, okay? If I want to change these light bulbs up here, this isn't the ladder that I use for that. But, you know, I could, I suppose, and I could just reach up here and change one of these light bulbs. I can't do that without a ladder. It's a tool, all right? But here's the thing. When you go through life and you have something tragic happen, like, for instance, let's say you were violated somehow, some way, by somebody. And this represents that individual or that circumstance, okay? The ladder does. So every time you see a ladder, you see a violation attached to it. Every time you see an individual that resembles a ladder, you see a violation. Or maybe you were battered. These were things that were actually had people in our church go through these. This was on an Easter thing. I pulled these out. You probably remember these. And any time that you see that, or maybe you were abandoned. Maybe you went through a terrible divorce situation. Or your mom or your dad or whoever, that you were just orphaned at a young age. And it's impacted your whole life. And any time you come across anybody that is like that, you associate people just like that ladder. So even though you might have a different ladder, the problem is this. It's a different ladder. But what really happens is that we're carrying these things around with us, all right? And we're hanging on to them. And we come across another ladder, and it's really not it's not the same person or anything, but it kind of looks like what I went through over here. So, oh, that reminds me of my abandonment. That reminds me of all the things that I went through. And I do not want to go through that anymore. So I'm just going to stay away. You see, there are times in our lives that we have to realize that we got to get back on the ladder. Not every ladder is going to break on you. Not every person is going to let you down the same way. Not every man is going to abuse you, ma'am. Not every woman is going to disrespect you, sir. Not every relationship or pastor is going to abuse his position. Not everybody in those capacities. Not every church is going to look like that church that you got hurt at. Not every church is going to just have backbiting and divisiveness in it. There are places, I hope and pray that we're one of those places, that we want to lift up Jesus and Him alone. Amen. And see, sometimes we fall off a ladder of Church of the Frozen Chosen, all right? And we want nothing to do with church anymore. So I know that I need to go up and change a light bulb, or I want to do something with my life, and I know that if I went to church, it would probably help me, but by God, I'm not doing that, because that's where I got hurt. That's where those people, oh, they call themselves Christians. I saw them. Well, join the club. We're all flawed in here, and don't think you're not. We're all flawed. Every single one of us. And I'm going to tell you, not every church is unstable. There are houses of worship that are built upon God's word. Amen. There are places that still preach the cross. that still preach repentance, that still preach relationship with Jesus, being born again, that there's only one way to heaven and one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen? Amen. And I know sometimes it takes a little bit of effort. And maybe, you know, if Jaira's a good friend of mine here, come on up. All right?
Okay.
Jaira might walk with me, you see, as a friend, as a brother in the Lord. And he knows that I'm scared of that ladder, but he'll walk with me towards it. You're doing real good here, buddy. All right. And he might even steady the ladder a little bit for me. So that when I first take that step back on, I'm able to get back on and climb again and do what I was intended to do with it. You see? Thank you, Jaira. Give him a hand. Thank you. Psalm 71. Let's turn there. When I'm able to come to the place where I can get back on, okay, that's a victory, friends. And you'll be like Jaira was in our example here. Now, I didn't prepare him for that or anything. But there might be somebody that has a real hard time. And I don't know what your ladder is today. I don't know what it is you're going through. Maybe you need to reconcile with somebody. Maybe your marriage is not in a really good place, or you're just kind of going through some stuff. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever. I don't know. But I will tell you is if you come to Jesus and you allow Him and be part of the family of God, we help one another here. Amen? You know, the Bible tells us to speak only words that build one another up and not tear down. I hope that we take the Bible seriously. Because I don't want to be in a place where I'm tearing down my brothers and sisters, because that's just divisive. We want to be in a place where we're lifting one another up, where we exercise patience with one another. I mean, sometimes I come across situations with people, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is so how I used to be, you know? And it's just like, well, okay, I guess I got to link arms with them, okay? And it's not I guess, I get to, all right? Because God has set me free. Maybe He could use me in their life to help them get free too. Maybe I can help them get back on this ladder. Amen? Amen. Okay, so that's just one example that we're talking about. But when it comes to trust and unforgiveness, and forgiveness, two very different things, but they both stem from the relationship that you and I have with Jesus. Amen? Now, we talked about receiving forgiveness. What do you think one of the hardest, what's one of the hardest individuals to forgive?
Yourself.
You know that when we can't forgive ourselves for things, we're actually elevating ourselves higher than God. We are making ourselves gods unto ourselves. Well, I just can't, and it becomes this self-loathing type of thing. It becomes, it's very, very, it puts you in a place of bondage. And sometimes you can't even see it. Because there's like this humility, but there's also a false humility that's kind of woven in with it, okay? And you're always identifying and talking about this place, you know, and what you went. Friends, we have to quit looking in the rearview mirror for everything. There is benefit to it to a degree. But at some point, we have to release and cancel, and we need to move on hand in hand with Jesus. Amen? What happens is, when think of it this way. What happened in worship this morning was just absolutely beautiful, okay? It was like the Lord, the Holy Spirit was here, okay? He was guiding, He was directing, He was birthing things in your hearts out here, because I just quit singing there for a while and I was just listening.
I was just listening to angelic worship coming from this congregation. It was just beautiful, you know. Or and then one of the team members might have something erupt. It was like this beautiful atmosphere. Friends, do you know what that's a result of? That's a result of spending time with Jesus in your individual lives, okay? And when we come together, there's a preparation of our heart that's already taking place, and we're ready to worship God, and we're ready to give and worship Him. But there's also something in this area of forgiveness. When we live a forgiven life, when we live a life that is given to Jesus and trusting the Lord, okay, it creates an atmosphere that is absolutely attractive to the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's like we're setting the table. But you bring division and discord, and you can go through all your gyrations in church and a methodology, and you've all been there. We've all been in those services where it just seems like, oh my gosh, man, what just happened? It was just like a train wreck, or you just came out of there feeling heavier than when you went in. But I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit is allowed to just come in, and where there's a free atmosphere, and we're not hanging on to unforgiveness and bitterness and offense and all that, it creates an atmosphere where Holy Spirit says, that's where I want to be. I'm going to 200 Stonegate today. Hallelujah. And I know that's kind of a crude, you know, example, but isn't it true? That's what the Scriptures teach us. You know, you're not going to have salt water, all right, and fresh water flowing from the same fountain, okay? I want the living water of God flowing in us and through us, okay? Not so that we can just come in here and take a shower, but so that we can come in here and celebrate Jesus together, and maybe you bring somebody with them and they get changed for eternity. But more importantly, we take this living water out of these four walls to the world around us. Hallelujah. Amen. I could sit here and give you a sob story of all the people in my life that have let me down. It's true. I could grocery list it, man. I could tell you about pastors that did some really terrible things to me, to my family, my spiritual covering. I could tell you about business leaders who were just in it for themselves, full of greed. I mean, really, why do we expect anything different when they don't know Jesus? Isn't it crazy how we expect unsaved people to act like they're saved? I mean, I could talk to you and tell you about brothers and sisters, right? I could show you the scars. The knives, the jabs, the things that get said. I could talk to you about people who question my motives or your motives or my family or whatever. Can I just tell you one thing? If you haven't figured it out, the only agenda here is Jesus. Amen. It's Him, okay? I can tell you about people that I've poured into, I've invested in, spent time, sacrificed time with my family and spent time with these people to have them turn around and just spit in your face. But I will tell you this, there's one thing I've learned. There's a reason that they're like that. They need Jesus just like I do. They have things in their own life that they're carrying they just don't see. And when they get touched in these areas, even though it's kind of an unfair thing to do, if you represent that old ladder that broke on them, they're going to pass all that stuff on to you. I'll tell you a quick story. I remember sitting across the table from a lady, and I've shared this once before. This lady was so bitter. She was a sower of discord. The Holy Spirit showed it to me. And so we did the scriptural thing. We sat down with her and we confronted her. And we talked to her in love. And she sat there in tears across the table saying how she didn't trust anybody, especially pastors. So I looked at her and I said, well, I don't even have a chance with you, do I? She says, nope. And I sat there just broken hearted on the inside. And there were some others with it. We tried to minister to that, but there was just this closed off place. Eventually she had to leave because she was a sower of discord. Tragic. Go through life. You pick these things up and they become part of you. All because some leader in their life wounded them probably 30, 40 years ago somewhere. And they're still carrying that thing today. And it didn't matter whether or not I was a good guy. And I think I'm a good guy. I think I can get along with most people. But I'm going to tell you, it didn't matter what I did. I could have just been, you know, just hand and foot. Just, oh, is your chair okay today, Pastor? Oh, would you like me to tie your shoe? Or, oh, you know, I could do all these things. Oh, are you okay here today, Emily? All right, Trevor, you all right, huh? Yeah. Okay, all right. Oh, that's good. Man, you look great today. Oh, I love that sweater, bro. Looking good. All right. You know, and you can do all these things, and it didn't matter. I could meet every single need that this person thought that they had. I was never going to be enough because I represented her broken ladder. And until she dealt with the reality that not every ladder is like that broken one, she's going to live in bondage the rest of her life. I'm going to tell you, you can put that in any relationship. Put it in a marriage. You can put it in friendships. You can, and I understand there's toxic relationships, okay? But if there's a heart for reconciliation, or if you're just meeting new people, I don't trust anybody. Nope, just kind of keep them out here. You ever come across people like that? They talk real surfacey stuff with you all the time. Or the minute you ask them a little bit of a probing question just to get to know them a little better, they want to talk about something completely unrelated. They got guardrails up around their heart and they're hurting. So we turn to Psalm 71, right? 71:1 says, in you alone I put my trust. I think there's another word in the NIV there. It calls him your make him his refuge. But that word there, it means I put my trust. In you alone, God, I put my trust. Proverbs 3:5. Familiar scripture. I'm sure we've read it before if you've been a Christian for any time. It says, trust in the Lord. Okay? With all your heart. Lean not on your understanding, okay? You and me, we have a limited understanding of things. That's why we need God's word to speak to us. This is the living word of God. We got to quit leaning on just what we think about the situation. Sometimes we need to shelf that and we need to pray and say, God, I need your wisdom from heaven on this situation. Amen. And he will always provide that for you. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways. Everybody say all. All of our ways. Acknowledge him. And he will bring direction to your path. To your life. That's the God that we serve. He's not going to just leave you hanging out there and abandon you. But friends, even though we may not trust the ladder, we can trust in God. Hallelujah, okay? And God will help us at one point. Even though I'm like really skeptical and I've been hurt or whatever it is, I know that this is a completely different person. At some point, I got to just take the hand of Jesus and just help him and just let him lead me right up to the top of this ladder. Hallelujah. You're all just like really nervous today. Can I just say this? People are not the problem. People are our purpose. They're the purpose. We got to be here for one another. We got to be here for other people. Now, I'm going to just kind of jump over to here because naturally, I got 10 minutes to get about 30 minutes in, okay? All right. So, this is a Jesus filter, okay? Now, when we go through life, we accumulate all kinds of things, don't we? Even as Christians, we can accumulate and pick up things. So, if this represents our vessel, okay? You and me, this container right here. We get saved, clear, living water of Jesus. It's wonderful, isn't it? And we experience it, and it's just a beautiful thing. Next thing you know, I meet Brother Sounding Brass. Brother Sounding Brass says some things that are a little sideways, and I just kind of remember those things, and you know, every drink needs some ice cubes, right? So those things kind of go into my cocktail, you know? And then I kind of go along and, you know, I like Cheez-Its, right? So, yeah, they're pretty good. Right, those are good. But the reality is that this represents just some kind of off-color humor and just little things and just those little sins, okay, that we commit, you know, and we don't really deal with them. We just kind of let them hang around, and, you know, so we put that in our cocktail, okay? So Brent and you and Trevor get to split this when we're done here, okay? Then I walk through life and I have something really heinous happen to me. I have a pastor let me down. I have a pastor who did something to my family, spread a rumor that wasn't true. And you know, I got really offended about that. So we'll put a little more in our cocktail here. But we still got Jesus in there, right? Yeah. Oh, look, isn't that nice? Kind of like something that came out of a baby's bottom. Isn't that wonderful? All right. Yeah, I said that. That's okay. And then we go through life, and oh man, we need a little flavor, right? And I just start picking things up and habits, and these aren't really bad things, but I'm just kind of turning to those things, you know, and I really should be turning, so I put that in my cocktail, and you know, and this is looking really good. And then there's just some, I have no idea, but I come across a very toxic situation. I have a relationship, and in that relationship, I go out outside of what God intended for my relationship. Maybe it's I'm a young man, and I sleep around, and it becomes very toxic, you know. And next thing you know, that just kind of goes into my little cocktail, okay? And you know, yeah, Jesus, you still in there? And he's in there somewhere, okay? And then next thing you know, I have some more sin starting to come. And this is starting to get really nasty, okay? And, oh, yeah, that's good. There we go. Now we have a beautiful, beautiful cocktail. And, oh, what's this? Oh, yeah. And this is some of that good smoky stuff, right? And we throw that in there. And the next thing you know is, you know, I don't have a blender, but this is a nice beverage that we're making here. So the last thing that happens, I say, well, okay, I'll give Jesus a try. And, you know, I go to church, and those stinking hypocrites, and it was just like chewing nails. Who's volunteering? You want some?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'll get you, pour you a cup here. I'll be all right. All right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Little topper for your cocktail here, okay? I don't think you really want to drink that, Gracie. Don't give in to peer pressure, okay? Okay. So now, yeah, Andrew's over here. I'll do it. Give me $100. I'll do it. So the reality is this. It started out pure and clean, full of Jesus. I start going through life. I start accumulating things. And now I'm supposed to offer part of my life to somebody else. I'm called to be what? A drink offering. Bill?
Dad?
How about a cool, refreshing one? You see what I'm saying? It's polluted. It's poisoned. It's toxic. We're going to bring this in for a landing. I don't care how you dress it up. Sometimes, if we're honest, this is what people see. This is what people see often in our lives. We want them to see Jesus. We do. But all the debris and the clutter and the garbage that we picked up along the way, the hurt feelings, the offense, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, all these things. I'm going to tell you, you can go from church to church to church to church or gathering to gathering. It doesn't matter. If you don't deal with the stuff that's in your cup, you're just going to take it to the next place. And it's time that we quit carrying this stuff around with us. It's time that we quit harboring unforgiveness and bitterness and associating everybody that comes our way that looks like the old ladder or the circumstance or whatever it is. Because I will tell you, you might have a trust issue today. Your issue isn't trust. Your issue is that you've got too much stuff in your cup and God wants to take it out. This is the stuff that destroys your life. This is the stuff that leads you into places that you do not want to go. This is the stuff that leads you to places of despair and depression and loneliness. Because when you're in this place, you push everybody else away from you. And oh, on occasion, somebody will come up to you and say, don't you go, yeah, yeah. And you, all you do is you offer this and they want nothing to do with it. So you go and find a bunch of people that have a similar cocktail to you. And that becomes your sphere of influence. And you form a little group and you support one another. And all you do is talk about your cocktails together. That is not the abundant life. Jesus said this, come unto me. If you're weary, you're heavy laden, you're burdened down, the scriptures teach us to cast our cares upon the Lord.
Amen.
Because He loves us. Jesus says that He is living water. And that out of our bellies will flow a river of living water. Even when I have this, even when you have this, can I just say nothing is impossible with our God? I have seen the vilest of offenders set free because of Jesus. Still suffering some consequences to the stuff that they've done. But they're clean. See, what happens is this.
My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And we've got our cocktail here. And I think if we're all honest, there's nothing appealing in that. But what we have to do is we have to take our cocktail to Jesus. Take every thought captive. Take every burden. Take every issue in your identity to Jesus. And lay it at His feet. And what ends up happening is when you put it through the Jesus filter, oh man, good things begin to happen. There it goes. Well, some of you over here can see what's going on. And when you take it to Christ, take a drink. Pretty good. Yeah. Doesn't taste like all the stuff, does it? Tastes like something that will bring life. Can I just say that in Jesus, His reservoir doesn't run out. There's an abundant supply. That's a drink worth offering to somebody. Now, I don't know where you're at today in this area of offense, this area of unforgiveness, this area of bitterness. I've used this illustration once before, 5-6 years ago. It gets the point. I know it's, again, but it gets the point across. You are not created to live your whole life under a banner of bitterness and offense because somebody did something to you 35 years ago. I know people in this church that had absolutely horrific things that they went through. And they live and they walk today, clear conscious, hopeful, still climbing up the ladder, offering living water to the people that they come into contact with. Why? Because they're so good? No. Because they serve a good God. Yes. Amen. Yes. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you, Lord.